Project.
Hi, I'm Ali Portee, fashion and lifestyle journalist and editor of Zayla magazine. I've always been interested in biographies and in the stories of people's lives, basically listening to what stirs their souls. Welcome to the Soulful Side of Life, where I let you in on some of my conversations with inspiring people from around the world in fashion, faith, entertainment, music, and entrepreneurship. These are conversations that stir the soul about people's journeys, about the ups and downs of life, and how they have overcome certain situations. I hope that these episodes will inspire your life in some way, so enjoy over a cup of something hot or on your drive to work. This is The Soulful Side of Life and can be found on Spotify Podcasts or Apple Podcasts. DeSolis Mezcal is a female-founded premium mezcal brand founded by Gigi Mervis, which it can be found in several states and shipped nationwide through their website. And I met Gigi last year in Aspen, and we had a great conversation, clicking instantly. She's smart, decisive, and a good reader of people, which makes her a good businesswoman. I get really excited when we meet up because we always have these soulful conversations about business and life. So her brand, DeSolis Mezcal, is an artisanally crafted spirit that is thoughtfully produced from 100% Sal Miana Agave, which is found in the state of San Luis Potosi in Mexico. The Sal Miana Agave, also known as the Green Giant, is cooked in above-ground ovens, which results in a mezcal with a fresh botanical aroma and gentle smoke. Its grassy, earthy, and agave-forward character are a product of the arid and chalking soil of San Luis Potosi. So we sat down in Aspen recently, again this year, to talk all things mezcal. DeSolis Mezcal is a really great drink. It's becoming my favorite liqueur of choice over tequila, and I have to thank Gigi for introducing me to it because I didn't know about mezcal before. So enjoy this podcast episode where we talk about her reason for starting an alcohol brand and why she chose to start an alcohol brand as opposed to something else, and what drives her to do it. Okay, Gigi, thanks for joining the podcast.
I'm happy to be here.
Wonderful. So you're inspiring because you're a woman-owned liquor brand. And I would imagine there's not a lot of women-owned alcohol brands. What inspired you to start your own brand?
Well, I guess going back to like just my early like experience, especially just like starting things, I've always started things, even in like, you know, in elementary school, high school. But when I was in college, I actually came up with an idea to start a tequila and coconut water company. Mm-hmm. That this was pre-White Claw, pre all these premixes that, so this is like 2012. And I kind of got thrown into this liquor industry because it was an idea that me and another girl had started in a dorm room. We created like a formula. We like created the whole thing in our room.
Wow.
And we actually did it. We ended up doing the product, getting an investor, launching in New York when I graduated. It took like about 2 years to get it going. But I really kind of just threw myself into this industry of like understanding how to create something, but also like, how do you get it sold? Like, how do you get something from an idea to a bottle to a concept on the shelf? And then how do you get people to buy it? Mm-hmm. And I think it's funny because once you know more about the industry, maybe like you're more scared to go and do something. But because we were so young and I was, you know, 21, mm-hmm. I was fearless, and I was like, let me just try and create this thing.
Yeah.
So we did create like one of the first real tequila premixes. It was coconut water and ginger and turmeric root. And that was kind of my start of like getting into this industry. And at the time I was going to Mexico a lot. So with the tequila company, actually, the woman who owns a tequila, she's a woman-owned tequila, and she has a factory. She's a woman-owned factory, and she was like, there really wasn't that many females in the industry, and she was like, let me help you, and she really took a liking to me because I was, you know, really young, and I really wanted to do this idea, and she really taught me a lot about, like, the laws and, like, the processes and tequila, and so I would be going to Mexico a lot, and that's kind of where De Solis actually really started, because I was going to Mexico City. I was learning about tequilas. I was learning about mezcal. Everyone was drinking mezcal at the time, too. I would say, like, people were starting to learn about it. And
but Mexicans knew about it, I would imagine.
Yeah, like, I think it was really more popular to have a lot of mezcals on the menu. And I was trying them in Mexico. I come back into the U.S. and I'm like, I really didn't know much about. This is now, I'm going to give you, like, time frame, 2014. They didn't, like, really, there wasn't that many mezcals that were not super smoky in the U.S. or really, like, Vita was one of the main ones. And then there was, like, you know, I think Illegal had just started. But I think I fell in love with the concept of mezcal and, like, how they're made and the fact that they're not, a lot of them are not smoky. And that kind of inspired me to kind of start diving into it. And when I discovered this type of mezcal, which is De Solis, is made out of Salmillon agave, which is not a smoky mezcal, and it's very typical to the area where it's from, which is from San Luis Potosí. I really got excited about it because I was like, really, people should learn about the process of mezcal. So that's really what inspired me
to start
the company. I think it was the previous path that led me to this path, and it was just kind of creating something that I thought was really I need an existence. So after I sold my first company, this was something I was working on as a passion project, but ended up being, you know, a major project.
And why alcohol? Why not fashion or a completely other business? Do you come from a family who's into drinks, and did that inspire you?
Alcohol... No, my family is not in the alcohol industry at all, at all. I was supposed to be a doctor.
Okay.
Up until I realized I want to start this tequila company with coconut water. No, I think by nature I'm really, like, I think I'm pretty creative. Like, I'd say that's more my strength. And I'm good at, I really love creating experiences and bringing people together. And I think that, why am I still in alcohol after like 10 years? You know, why did I do two of them? I think I really love to bring people together and different facets of industries and things that wouldn't typically come together through alcohol, you can bring them together. So whether it's creating dinners or it's creating parties or creating tasting experiences, like, you really get to be creative in the industry.
Yeah.
And I think alcohol is a great way for people to come together, weirdly, because, you know, people come to, it really is a kind of this social thing that people tend to do when they come together. So it gives me that avenue. And I think that's really the thing that makes me the most happy and fulfilled is, like, that part of my work.
Yeah.
And that's why I like the industry.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. That's the, like, the most positive part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That in creating great flavors too.
Yeah, I think there's this, obviously, this other part of it, which is De Solis is amazing, right? Like, it's an amazing mezcal. I think it's different. It's exposing people to a different type of plant and a different type of region. Most mezcal is made from Oaxaca.
Okay.
And it's made with espadine, which is a very smoky, sharper mezcal. And it's more typical in Oaxaca to make that kind of mezcal. Whereas De Solis is made from Salmillon agave, which is typical from San Luis Potosí, which is kind of known for that taste, that very smooth, fresh, low smoke. And then the other thing is we roast above ground instead of underneath the ground. So if you're familiar with mezcal, the roasting process is super important. And most of the smoky flavor comes from the roasting.
Gotcha. So this is produced in Mexico.
This is produced in Mexico.
Okay.
So all mezcal has to be produced in Mexico. It actually has to be produced in different, in certain states, and it's all controlled. Yeah.
So it's like champagne. How?
Yeah. I would say like, sort of. I think tequila is more comparable to champagne. So, the best way to understand, if you want me to explain it, is there's around like 50 or so agaves that grow all over Mexico. Okay. One of them is the blue Weber agave.
Okay.
So tequila is made from 100% blue Weber agave.
Okay.
And then you have 49 or 48, whatever, there's always changing the number, but other types of plants that grow all over the other seven states of Mexico, and that's mezcal. So it's like different regions, different agaves, different variations of flavor, different elevations, different terroir. So that's one thing that sets tequila and mezcal apart. But the other major thing is that with mezcal, you actually roast before you distill, where tequila you don't. So you get a lot of different flavors and variations of how you make the product. And I think right now tequila is, you know, the fastest growing. Well, no, it's not the fastest. It is, you know, more popular than almost every other alcohol to drink right now. It's going to surpass vodka for the first time ever in the U.S.
Oh, wow.
I
can see that.
But it is becoming a kind of a mass market alcohol, right? Like it used to be, I think people really wanted to drink tequila because they wanted to have something that was handcrafted and kind of smaller batched. But at this point, I don't think it really is that. And mezcal really still, as a category, so small that you still will be getting something made by hand that you know there's a lot of thought into it and there can't be that many additives, really, like, you know, extra additives. There's a lot of control around that and there's a lot of pride in how you make the product. So, like, as a consumer, if you're conscious about what you're drinking and conscious about what you're eating and conscious about what you're wearing and you want to know, like, you that there's intention and, like, physical humans helping make it, like, mezcal is definitely that route.
Gotcha. So, what does a typical day look like for you? Are you going to Mexico often?
I won't say that I'm going to Mexico as often, like, because now? I feel as now.
Yeah.
Mostly my days are really in the market. I'm really involved with, like, day-to-day selling and, like, marketing almost, the creative process. I like to go to the places that carry my product and talk to the people that work with the product. I like, you know, most of my day revolves around kind of overseeing all of that. So now we're in six states.
Okay.
We just launched Colorado, where...
Cool. Congratulations.
Thanks. We launched in December, and we really... the Aspen market really is responding, like, so incredibly well. So we've really been focusing. But day to day, that it's kind of... balancing, like, kind of keeping the company fresh and new and exciting with making sure that I'm in the market and not just kind of overseeing everything, but really understanding what is the consumer, what are the trade, what are people wanting, and, you know, making sure that bartenders and the staff are, like, happy about the product, because in a day those are the most important people for me.
So you're meeting with, like, the bars that are carrying
the bars, the restaurants, the product, and, like, you know, I do have salespeople that also work for me and for the company, and working with them and facilitating them so they become experts in tequilas and all that.
That's awesome. Yeah. Is it hard getting, like, marketing, or was it hard, like, getting it off the ground? Because it's hard to build any brand and to get it, to get clientele.
Yeah, it
was how did you do that? Like, did you hire a firm to help with that? Or?
No.
Okay. Wow.
No, actually, you know, like, kind of everything in your life kind of happens for a reason. You know, I almost feel like my first project was so hard. It was so much learning and so many things that I didn't do correctly that I learned exactly what to do with this one. And I was able to, I didn't hire anyone to, like, put the project together because I already knew how to do it. And I knew what not to do.
You knew how to do it because of your previous brand?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that still around?
It is not with a name, but and if it is, I don't know where it is.
Okay.
It was like a lot of mistakes were made that I learned from that allowed me to do this really quickly, within like 1.5 years, 2 years to get it off the ground, which is, you know, we have to get like 10 different licenses and
oh wow
approvals and between Mexican government and American government and state governments and importers, distributors. It's a crazy world, but
I can imagine. And then you live in Miami. Is that a big spot for mezcal as well? Because there's a lot of Latinos living there. And
yeah, I think what's funny is Miami is so changed versus like 4 years ago. And I think the concept of craft cocktails is like really finally very important in Miami versus it used to be a little less, you know, about bartenders and craft and all of that. I think Miami as a market is responding so well because of the freshness of the flavor, because it's not super smoky. You're able to do so many fresh cocktails and like in hot weather, especially like that's been great, especially as an introductory mezcal for people who want to try mezcal but are scared of the smoke. Having that freshness and flavor is definitely been great for Miami, if that makes sense.
And I imagine that you do a lot of collaboration, or collaborations are helpful for events like you did Formula One Miami last year, right?
And yeah, so we try to be involved with everything in the community, and all the markets that we're in, we really try to be involved with the community and not just, you know, coming in there. And Miami, because it's my hometown and I live there, I feel that it's definitely like where I want to definitely have the best collaborations, and especially because a lot of my friends or people I know are working in the industries, it's really fun to collaborate together.
I can imagine. Okay, so last question. What advice do you have for somebody who wants to start an alcohol brand?
I think make sure you don't waste money because it goes very quickly in this industry. No, but more from like a more mentally stimulating answer for that is, I think if you have a vision and you are persistent and you follow through no matter what and you keep your word and you wake up early and you don't get too drunk, just keep going. And I think it takes a lot of work, like anything, that's how, everything, that's, if it was easy, everyone would do it. But following through and making sure that you, your vision or whatever you think you really believe in, that you really like stand for what you believe in, I think is really important.
Yeah.
Following through. I think that's the main.
Yeah. And work hard.
Work hard and like be positive. I mean, I know that's being positive is such a standard thing people are saying, but it's more about focus on like what's going right in the present and not so much living in the future or the past where you're things that maybe you didn't do right, or like living in like this world where it's not there yet. Staying in the present, focusing, you know, looking at what is going right and really focusing in on that and following through on what you said.
Yeah, and probably not letting the mountain in front of you scare you from not launching or
I think if you really, if you're meant to launch something and you're meant to do something and you're truly that like kind of mover and shaker of coming up with an idea and doing it, that's in you already. Yeah. Where like you're not scared of that mountain and you're gonna do it. So just like it's already in you. Yeah. So you just need to tap into it. Yeah. And it's not for everyone. It really isn't. But if it's for you, you know it, because no matter what, for some reason you're gonna do it.
Yeah. Yeah. That so, passion is there. It's like driving you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining the podcast.
Thanks for taking the time.
My pleasure.
I hope that you enjoyed this podcast episode and that you have found a soulful connection to the conversation. God bless you, and until the next episode, go bless somebody else.